This evening we're going to turn in God's Word to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy and chapter 33. We will consider a portion of Scripture that may be very well known to us. But just would like to remind us again of who it is with whom we have to do. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 26. The Scripture says, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The mountain of Jacob shall be a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people? Saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." May the Lord add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. This evening, I really want us just simply to consider one word particularly. You cannot separate that word, though, from the words that are around it. But I want us to think on the words there in verse 27, where it says, underneath. Well, the rest of it has to come. Are the everlasting arms. May the Lord be pleased to bless the Word of God to us tonight. Before we go further, let's just ask the Lord to bless us and to meet with us and to speak to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Our Father and our God, again this evening we are thankful that we are here in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we're here to meet with Him. We're here to hear from Him. And Lord, we are here to give back to Him the love of our hearts. And Lord, for us to do that, we do need to meet with Him. And so we pray that through the Spirit of God and the power of the Word, that Thou wilt make that to be true for us this night. Lord, we would pray that Thou wouldst allow the knowledge of the Lord to be our portion, and the help of the Lord to be that which is the mercy that we enjoy. Lord, bring us along with Thyself. Let us sit down where Thou dost sit down. Let us dwell where Thou dost dwell. And let us commune with Him who is the help and hope of our soul. Lord, bless us with the sight of Christ, we pray. Help me now as thy servant is my prayer. Give me the leading of the Holy Ghost in all things that are said in this time tonight. And Lord, we will bless thee for allowing us to see Him whom our soul loves. And we pray it in His name. Amen. In the reading that we have just allowed ourselves to go through by God's grace, we find that there is a wonderful truth set forth that God is all around His people. In verse 26, we read that our God is above us, for He rideth upon the heaven, and His excellency on the sky. In verse 27, we read that He is before us, in that He thrusts out our enemies. But tonight I want to limit our thinking to the fact that our God is underneath His people. More particularly, the statement is made that His arms are underneath of us. I will make but one statement about the arms of our God. In many places in Scripture, the strength of God's arm is either seen in power or mentioned in hope. The arms of God are those mighty pillars upon which rest the hearts of the redeemed. Indeed, though simple it may be, the chorus, He's able, He's able, I know He's able, is the theme of God's people. And there is a matter of quietness in those words. My God is able, by His mighty arm, all His promises to perform. It would not take us a long time of study to discern that the arms of God are but a picture that discloses for us the truth that our God is ruling in all things and providential in all His benefits. What better stands as a picture of sovereign power than the arms of God, the very emblems, if you will, of His involvement in this world for my good? If our hearts and our minds are fixed on the truth that our God has an arm that cannot be withstood, and those arms are holding me, that will be for my soul the supremest of all comforts. Yet having said that, I want to step aside to another thought. That is, I want us to dwell for a short time on where those arms are. Where will we find the arms of God? Do we see the power of God's sovereignty only residing in the picture of His being upon the throne? No. The Lord's arms are underneath the halting and poor saint. That is the singular thought for tonight. We have considered the nature of the arms of the Lord before. Tonight, though, I want us to consider where we find God's sovereign power displayed. My theme this evening is this: God's sovereign care is my constant portion, as opposed to my sometimes portion. God's sovereign care is my constant portion. Tonight, I want us to examine the imagery that we have here in Deuteronomy 33 and take thought of what the image suggests to you and to me. And I have 7 brief suggestions about how we can take this statement that His arms are underneath. First, I would have you to see with me that His arms are underneath to carry. Israel was a small nation and weak. She was facing the entry into what had to be called the land of giants as she stood there waiting to cross over the Jordan. How could she possibly go forward? How is it that this small and weak and insignificant and even unworthy people go forward and see such a conquest? The answer? The arms of her God would take her forward. Let's make this more pertinent to you and me. How are you and I to go forward in the will of God? How are we to do those things that are laid before us as the desire and commands of God? You know, you and I are no different than Israel. In fact, we don't even come up to their standard in many ways. We are of no strength. We are yet like sheep that need a shepherd. How can we possibly do the things that are set before us as service to our God? Let me put it to you plainly. You cannot serve Jesus Christ by yourself, in yourself, and of yourself. You can't do it. Are there any examples that you could look at in the Scripture of those who possibly tried to serve the Lord in the flesh and found out it didn't work? One man comes to my mind immediately, and I love him dearly, if I have to say, but it's only through words of the Scripture, and that's the Apostle Peter. He learned that lesson seemingly over and over and over again. How can we begin to fulfill the responsibilities of our God that He has put into our lives? How can we do the things that we are told to do? How is it that we can take the stand that we are told to take? How is it that we are to obey God's will and way when it seems that the entirety of the world is working against us in that very thing? How are we supposed to do all these things? How is it that you are supposed to be able to do what God has told you to do when it seems your old heart and your old man is working overtime to keep you from doing the things that God says to do? The answer: your God carries His people forward. We have a Savior that carries His people forward. And I ask you honestly, have you not seen that? Have you not seen the times, perhaps, when you felt like, Lord, I cannot go forward. I cannot do what You told me to do. I cannot accomplish what You told me to accomplish. I cannot obey. I cannot stand. I cannot even begin to know how to conduct myself. And yet, you see the Lord pick you up and take you forward. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Child of God, how is it that you're supposed to go forward in the name of Jesus Christ? You go forward because the Lord is carrying you forward. And that's the reality of it. How did Israel enter the land? Did you ever see a people that were carried more than Israel? In fact, that's what the statement here in Deuteronomy is exactly all about. The Lord opened the Red Sea, brought them through. The Lord gave them manna. The Lord did all the different things. The Lord thwarted the designs of the enemies. The Lord brings them to the Jordan River. The Jordan River parts. They go through on dry ground again. Then they get to Jericho, and what happens? They walk around it 7 times, not saying a word. What happens? The walls fall down. They go up straight ahead. And how many kings after that day at Jericho were subdued by this tiny little people? How does this happen? There is none like unto the God of Yeshurun. There's the answer. And so, in the light of that, you can ask this question. Who is like unto thee, O Israel? Who has one doing for them the way you have your God doing for you? The answer, nobody. If you're in Jesus Christ tonight, you can rest knowing that the things that your God desires for you will be yours, because He will carry you with His underneath everlasting arms. So I say, are you hard up against it? Remember, it is His place to carry you and do for you what you are quite unable to do for yourself. Second, I would suggest that this phrase, underneath are the everlasting arms, you would have there the picture not only of one who carries, but the one who enfolds. The Everlasting arms are underneath us to enfold us. Now, I know that some of you are somewhat smiling. I will probably say more than once tonight, the underneathing arms. And if I say that, you know what I mean. In fact, I'm going to suggest to you that that is a very good descriptive term. The underneathing arms of God. You know exactly what I mean. So you stay with me and no more smiling. His arms are under us to enfold us. What does that say? I will be close to the Lord. But how can this be? How can this be? For I am, as Paul said, one who, when he wants to do things right, finds he can't do them right. When he finds he wants to go forward with God, finds that he can't go. And the things that he would do, he doesn't do. And the things that he would never do, those are the things that he's doing. That's a description of you and me. How is it that we can go on with God and be close to him? How can this be when there are so many things that are set against us? We have a wicked one who comes and tries to trip us up at every hand. We have difficulties of mind and heart. We have all of our wayward goings. We have a propensity. No, I'll take it back. A love. To look at ourselves. To consider ourselves. To worry about ourselves. To want. To covet. To be taken up with that which concerns me. We have cold hearts. You know, sometimes you and I don't even make it up to the level of the Laodiceans, whose hearts were lukewarm. If we ever made it to that place, we would think that we were in revival. Sometimes the way that we act, because we're of cold heart. How is it that I can be close to God? Further, in those hours in which I am overcome by grief or pain or fear, how can I possibly draw near to the Lord? How will I know the comfort of being held close to the God of my heart? The answer is because God's arms are those which are underneath me. He will rule even in my difficulty. And I say this, and you and I ought to say, hallelujah. He rules even in our failures. And I would suggest to you that there is no more clear evidence or picture of that than Calvary's cross. The Lord ruled even amid our failures, and that He put away our sins. He will reign in my dark hour. He will draw me to Himself. Our God purposefully sets His arms under us to enfold us to Himself, so that it can be said of us what was said of Israel. Israel shall dwell in safety alone. How could that be said with all the nations that were in that land? How could that possibly be said by all the enemies that would stand besides calling upon different ones to come and curse Israel? How could it be said? How could Israel possibly dwell in safety alone? Because underneath were the everlasting arms of God to enfold this poor yet chosen people to the heart of their God. Third, I would suggest that here in these words, we have underneath the everlasting arms to bolster. I mentioned to carry and to enfold, but now to bolster. Perhaps we've all seen someone who is weak and about to fall, bolstered up by the arms of another. There's a very well-known sports incident. It didn't take place that many years ago. I think it was maybe like just 10, 12 years ago. There was an Olympic runner that as he was in the race, and he was one who had, they told his story, how he had trained for years and years, and it was just his dream to be able to run in the Olympics. And when he gets into the race, and he's running for all he's worth, he pulls a muscle in his leg, and he falls down. And as he gets up, he finds he can't hardly even walk. And he's determined, even though he's like a lap and a half behind the other guys, he is going to finish the race. And the thing that's amazing about this is he gets, to the last lap, and he's just able to fall. And you can just see him almost weeping because he wants to finish the race. And out of the stands jumps his father. And his father runs out to the track and puts his arm underneath his son, and they both come finishing around. Of course, it was a disqualification. But the man that won the race was forgotten. Who was remembered was this young man and his father that ran out and bolstered his son by pulling him up on his own shoulders, as it were, and the two determined together, we will finish this race. You know, there are times that I am convinced that I cannot go on. There are times when the weariness and being worn come to the place where it even feels like it's an impossibility. And you know what I'm talking about, because I think you've been there too. There's times even when we hurt. We have one that sticketh closer than a brother, who in the hour when you feel, I can't go on. No, I say this. When the hour you have rightly determined and understood you can't go on, and it's a right assessment, we have one who will come and will help and allow us to finish the course. I would say also these words here tell us that underneath are the everlasting arms to lift. Now, you may say, well, this seems like the very same thing that you just mentioned. But there is a difference. In the previous point, I was alluding to the thought of going on. There's a progression that is being made, though it is halting, though it is with an inability. In the previous point, we see ourselves weary and worn. Here we find a time in which the description is, we are those who have stopped and fallen. There is no progress. There is no going forward. There is no limping away my way around and needing the help of one to bolster me up. Here is, I've fallen flat. And there I am. How am I supposed to get up? Oh, I say, how quick is my mind and my heart to tell me that I have lost out with God because of my failings? How quick are the conclusions of our souls that say we cannot expect Him to want to use us anymore or to take us on with Himself? In such times, we might view ourselves as being very low indeed. And we look at ourselves and say, I am so far down and He is so high. How can I possibly get to where He is? Here's a point that I really want you to understand. For you as a child of God, no matter how low you go, still the Lord's arms are underneath. In other words, you cannot get beneath the arms of God. You cannot go so low where the everlasting arms are underneath, are not underneath of you. Number five, I want you to see that underneath are the everlasting arms to gird up. Sometimes the idea of underneath suggests those things that are out of sight. I was looking just recently at a book that was put out about my hometown. I love to do that because I love to see the old pictures and find out that there were buildings that were standing in my hometown that I never knew were there and everything. You know, in fact, I have come to the conclusion I don't know anything about my hometown because nothing that was there at the turn of the century is there anymore, and it's all different and so forth. So I like to learn about those things. But there was one picture particularly that was showing there was a hotel that's built right on the edge of the bay where I grew up, and they have a dock that goes way out into the water. And I was noticing the pilings that were set so that they could build the dock, and it struck me, I wonder how they set those pilings. And I can just imagine some men down in the water there. And as you get out from that side of the bay, the water does not just stay shallow. It gets deep and deep in a hurry. How did they do that? And the thought struck me, you know, most of what the dock is that you see there, I take it back, most of the dock that you see there is not there that you see. Did you catch that? Most of the dock that you're seeing is not what you're seeing, because most of the dock is underwater. Those pilings that hold the dock, the frame and what you walk out on is very much the small part of it. It seems like most of it's under the water. You know, many of the things that your God does to gird you up, you don't even see. It's a foundational situation. There are undergirders that hold you up. You say, what's the relevance to what you're saying here? I ask this question in the light of what I've just said. How do you know that your faith will not fail and you will be one who is cast away? How can you say you know the answer to that question? Or, how do I know that the Lord will not tire of me and decide that I am too much to tolerate? The answer? Because underneath are the arms of God. They are there to set a foundation that holds me up. He will rule with regard to my faith, and He will rule with regard to my place in Him. I say there is the security of my soul. He will not let me go. His arms have enfolded me. I am held as a foundational thing to Himself by His own arms. Another aspect that changed my thinking entirely here at this point, I want you to see with me that the underneathing arms of God are arms to present. Arms to present. We sometimes might lift up a little baby or something that we treasure to the sight of someone that we want to behold what is to us our pride and joy. We lift it up. See, look at this. Look at this little one. Isn't this the sweetest thing you've ever seen? May I say to you that the Lord Jesus is holding us up to the eyes of the Father. We are the object of His joy and love. You know, there is deep theology in that children's song that we sang tonight. Jesus loves me. This I know. The love of Christ is a love that takes sinners and makes them new, but also takes sinners and allows them to become, before the eyes of God, the object of joy, the object of pleasure, indeed, the treasure of our God. How can I come to God? Answer, Christ lifts me up. The Father sees the union to Christ. There, for me, is the answer to the question of alienation. How is it remedied? It's remedied by the arms of Christ. My last thought, and with this I end, and this is a very simple thought here. I think you see very pronounced in these words that we have read tonight the idea that the underlying, underneathing arms of God are under His people to protect them. They are to protect. In other words, the Lord will not allow any other to rule in my life. Nobody is going to rule over me. Nobody is going to have their way with me. Nobody is going to have a design that will come to fruition with regard to my soul, because the arms of my Lord are underneath. I am in His control. There is none that shall reach me. None shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Indeed, the Lord will not allow another to hold us or to own us. So we come, again, perhaps to the underlying reason why these words are presented. Why tell the people of God this? Why do we have these words here in this portion, particularly in context with the people who are about to go into a land? These words are given that you may rest. You are able to rest in all things because underneath are the everlasting arms. There's not anything that you need fear. There's not anything that you need say, this is legitimate cause for worry. No, there's not a legitimate cause for worry at any time. We've been having this conversation in my own home. Is there ever a time for legitimate worry? Answer, I publicly go on record now to have it said, even though I will be one who says that worry is not alien from the name Find Out and has not been for generations. There is no legitimate reason for worry. Because underneath are these arms. May the Lord allow us to rest in this tonight. May the Lord allow us to know this not only as our hope, but also as our testimony. Well, amen. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Our Father and our God, we do pray now that Thou wilt allow the word of God to encourage us with who we have as our God. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt allow us to see that for us there is no prospect but the prospect of being held in the arms of the Savior. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt seal now to our hearts the good of this word tonight. Allow us to go on with Thyself. Lord, now I pray for these Thy people. I pray that Thou wilt walk with them, that Thou wilt minister to them, that Thou wilt keep them, that Thou wilt allow them to know days in this week in which their hearts are made to be glad at the consideration of Christ and the seeing of His provision. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt allow there to be a testimony for the sake of Christ that can be given by these Thy people. Bless us now as we leave this place. Keep us in Thy fear, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.